guys are a blessing. I love your sense of humor. Sometimes you go to some churches and you can say the same thing you said over here, and like Brother Spurgeon will tell the same joke or something, and these people laugh and these people don't. And so your eyes will say, oh, those folks have a good sense of humor. Or if they didn't get most of it, then you think, well, we're just different. It's not like they're bad or anything. It's just like that they're different. But I was thinking about that sunshine box you were talking about. Real quickly, when my first husband was terminal and I gave my testimony here, I'm from Ohio, a church from Alabama sent me a sunshine box. And they said, we want you to open one little package every day. And it was at the worst part of the illness. The days were dark, you know what I mean? And I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And those little packages were such a blessing. And I started to look forward to, it's like stationery and dollar store stuff, but it was just something to look forward to. So it's true, they are a little bit of sunshine for people. I know that'll be a great blessing. I'm sorry, now the stuff is getting in my throat that's out there somewhere. Anyway, Lord, I pray you bless this time and calm me down, Lord. The blood is rushing, the adrenaline is rushing through my body. And Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to have my thoughts to be organized, Lord, and I want to minister grace to these ladies and the things that you've taught me, Lord. I pray that you'd bless now in Jesus' name, amen. Well, sometimes families, I don't know if you guys have this in your family, but sometimes in families you have names for, like, your children. Like, we had a Nosy Rosie because she was always listening. You know, we had a Gabby Abby and a Big Bother. And Messy Bessie. I mean, you know, you're just a Messy Bessie kind of thing. So, but I was thinking one day, wouldn't it be awful if somebody said about you, oh, you're just a bitter Betty. You're just a bitter Betty. Let's go to Isaiah 38:17. Isaiah 38:17. And I need some Kleenex. Is there a box here? Oh, thank you. So let's go to Isaiah 38:17 and go to the part that says, behold, for peace, I had great bitterness. Now, in the place in your heart where there should be peace because we're born-again Christians, is there bitterness instead of peace? Just think about it. Do you have a troubled place in your heart? One time I was at a big meeting in our area, and I had a troubled place in my heart. And my spiritual father, Brother Ruckman, was preaching, and he said in the invitation, do you have a troubled place in your heart? He said, no, I want you to close your eyes and just say, Lord, what's wrong? This is in the invitation. And I shut my eyes. I said, Lord, what is this trouble in my heart? And the Lord told me. And I went forward, and I got right with the Lord about that thing. So is there a troubled place in your heart? Do you have a place that's not peaceful? Do you have a place that there's a wound or hurt that will not go away? Or do you bear a grudge against somebody that you feel has maybe offended you? Are you mad at the Lord about something? Well, this verse in Isaiah says, behold, for peace, in the place where peace should be, I had great bitterness. Let's go to Hebrews 12:14. Now in Isaiah we saw that peace and bitterness are opposites, correct? Well, there's some more verses that it's amazing how the opposites are often found in the same kind of place in the Bible. But in Hebrews 12:14, it says, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let's look at this verse. If you're looking in your Bible or just remembering, notice the word any. And we're going to look at different kinds of bitterness that the Bible talks about. But this bitterness, it might start with just a thought, a harsh thought towards somebody. But then it progresses from there. And you get a thought, and then you get an attitude, and then you get a problem. And I talk to ladies all the time, and there's many reasons, and it's even probably futile for me to say why, but some ladies have talked to me, and they've had a failed marriage, they have bitterness, they had a miscarriage, they lost a full-term baby, they can't have a baby, they have a prodigal child, some kind of unanswered prayer. It's just been amazing over the years, the list just grows and grows and grows. Or somebody died, or someone was slighted. And these are things that can be the beginning of a root of bitterness. The Lord gave me this message, and I was writing on a legal pad, and I was writing, and He was giving me wonderful things about this, and I started to abbreviate the root of bitterness. And I put ROB, and I said, that's what bitterness does. It robs us of peace. It robs us of men. It chokes off the wonderful things that God wants us. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so when we are bitter, when we are in the root of bitterness or in the bonds of iniquity, it's going to choke off wonderful things that the Lord has for you. And I'm sure you probably, all of us have probably had this at some time. I gave this message somewhere and somebody came up to me and said, I know two people here that have the root of bitterness. Really? It's for someone else? It's for her? For her? No. This is for you. And it might. I was one place, I said, our church doesn't have any bitterness here. Right before their church split. You know, you gotta look for the signs, and you gotta keep it clean between you and the Lord on this bitterness stuff. So don't let it rob you of your peace. Let's look back at this verse. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Look at it springs up. My friend in Florida got a bunch of mulch delivered to her house, and they spread it out. They spent hours spreading it out. They got up the next day, dollar weeds everywhere. They sprung up overnight. She couldn't believe it. She said, and man, if we didn't get them all, not only did they spring up really fast, they went down deep. If we didn't get them, and you know, they were under the mulch, those roots would go way down, and we'd have to jerk them out. She said, it was really awful. Well, that's kind of how bitterness can be. It can spring up, defiling many out here, but then, and the roots are going way down. Well, that's what bitterness does. And we got to really look at this and try to keep this from happening to us. Notice the two results of bitterness. Look at this. It says, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So the first thing is trouble. You're troubled. There's some kind of trouble. What's troubling you? And thereby, many, so the second one, the first one is you're troubled. Remember the verse, for peace I had great bitterness. Number two, the second result of having a root of bitterness is that many are defiled. Another word for defiled is contaminated. You want to like be that person that contaminates others? Let's go to Romans 14, 19. Just thinking about this root of bitterness. It says here, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. We're supposed to follow after those things that for the peace, not for just because it's your idea or just because you want to say what you want to say. We're supposed to really be working at following after peace. So let's look at some types of bitterness. The first one I found in the Bible was a bitter spirit. Are you a bitter Betty with a bitter spirit? And some women are just bitter. There's a person I have to go out to lunch with when I go home. And let me tell you, every word is bitter. You know how you try to get the language or the conversation back to something healthy? Well, yeah, you can't. You can't. Or somebody says gossips about somebody, and you try to say something to counteract that, but it goes back to something negative again. Well, after I'm done talking to this person, I walk out of the restaurant like this because I feel heavy. And it's like I've been in a battle. Like I've been fighting to get her up, to get her off out of the bitterness. And I cannot, because you cannot do that for someone else. They have to want to do it themselves. And let's look at this. Let's go to Acts 8:23. There is a problem with bitterness. And you'll see it right here in Acts 23. The Bible equates having a spirit of bitterness with being in the clutches of sin. Look here, Acts 8:23. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So one of the problems is you don't know it sometimes. I'm going to try to help you to know it today, but sometimes you don't know it. But someone else knows it. Someone else sees it. See, it says, I perceive that thou art. He didn't know it. He didn't know he was in the bond. Notice that bitterness has bondage. See the bond of iniquity? Do you want to be in bondage? That's how it is to have a bitter spirit. So let's look at the next kind is our bitter words. The word bitter is from an Old English word, meaning bite. Have you ever said, she almost bit my head off? Well, that means the bitter words. The Lord tells us we're supposed to edify each other with our speech, not to bring us down. When someone has hurt you, though, when someone you feel has offended you, you can't stop talking about it, right? Right? You have to tell somebody that somebody offended you. You have to say it over, and you have to say it to her, and you have to say it to her, and you have to say, and you end up having to say it over and over and over again. And the problem with a bitter spirit is it just doesn't start. It doesn't, just not the information. Now, the next time it has to be more juicy, and it has to go, and you have to say more detail because the story's got to be bigger. And it just is a real sad thing. And I will just read this one. In Job 7:11, he said, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I will. He's going to. He's not going to stop. Now, that is bitter words, but there's more about bitter words than that. I have two other things I want to say. Number one, let's go to Psalm 64. And all of you need to memorize this verse because we've read it every year in our Bible reading and we don't even know that it's about gossip. We don't even know it. But look here. Let's go. I want you to read it yourself later. But look at verse 3. Who wet their tongue like a sword. Do you know what wet means? Doesn't mean take a drink. It means sharpen it. So they sharpen their tongue. It's almost like, are you practicing gossiping? I mean, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows? Even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves. Okay, so now there's two. Right, it's not just enough that you're bitter and you're thinking about it. Now they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall sue them? They search out iniquities. Look at that, verse 6. They search them out. They're waiting. They accomplish they're very diligent. A diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God has a remedy. Look at number 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And it goes on from there. So you want to be very careful when you pass on information or say anything about anybody else. You don't want to be, because look, he's going to let those words fall back on you. But I guess I was so surprised that they shoot in secret at the perfect. Somebody is trying to do their best to do right here. Now, we know we're not perfect, but this just means somebody that's really trying to be good. And far be it from you to ever talk about your pastor or his family behind their back. I think God has a special noogie that he's going to put on your head. I promise, I've been saved 40 years. I've seen it. And you better be careful about saying or listening to anything. I think it says somewhere, receive not a railing accusation against an elder, something like that. You want to be very, very careful. I would not let anybody say anything to me about my pastor. I won't. I won't do it. That's the line you draw. You put the hedge up and you say, no, I don't want to hear it. Somebody tried to talk to me about someone else. I said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about them. Period. You draw the line. Because looks to me like there's a problem if you do. I was talking to a pastor's wife, and she said, you know, some lady in my church came to me, and she said, you know, when your husband's preaching, I don't appreciate the way you do this. In other words, the whole time the preacher's preaching, this lady's watching the pastor's wife. And I thought, why aren't you listening to the preaching? Why are you accomplishing a diligent search so you can come to the pastor's wife with a list of transgressions that you're not even listening to the preaching? What does that say about you? Anyway, I'm venting, sorry. Okay, so be careful about the Bitter Betty gossip. I was once asked to be part of an elite prayer chain, come in, we're going to pray together. We're going to it's just the five of us, and we're just going to pray for the very special needs of the church. Well, it was just the five. And so I go to prayer meeting, and I'm not getting it for like several weeks. I'm not getting it. So I'm hearing him say, oh, help our pastor to be more friendly. He's just not friendly when people come into the church. So I heard that. Help Mark to be less worldly. So I'm hearing that. I'm still not getting it. Well, then a couple weeks went by, and I said to myself, boy, I got to get to prayer meeting because I want to hear what's going on at church. And the Holy Spirit said, it's really a prayer gossip circle, not a prayer circle. So I got out of that real quick. But anyway, took me a while. Why didn't I see it the first week? I don't know. I just didn't. But anyway, maybe God wanted to really make it solid for me. But so let's talk about these bitter words real quick. We talked about being the perpetrator, the one that talks, but how about just being the listener? Do you not understand that when you listen to somebody talk against someone else, that is enabling them? When you listen, you get what I mean? You are culpable. You are part of the problem when you listen. I don't think I can, but let's think about that verse, and I did not write it down where it was, and if you know it, you can tell me, about evil communication corrupting good manners. Why is it not evil communication? You're not communicating it, but you're hearing it, so it's going to corrupt you. So you better be very careful what you listen to. And I think that this is something, somebody came up to me and they said, my son wasn't doing right. And they said, I saw what your son put on Facebook. I saw this that he said, and this that he said, and this that he said. And it was pretty bad. And I knew it. It was sad, but I knew it. It was hard to hear. But I knew it in my heart already. But I thought to I said to the young man, I said, why are you looking at that? Why are you reading that? Don't you know evil communication corrupts good manners? You're going to be corrupted. You might think you're in church and you're doing fine and everything, but why are you looking at corrupt communication? Why are you listening to it? Because it's going to defile you, just like this root of bitterness says so. Okay, so how about a bitter attitude? Are you a bitter Betty grudge holder? A grudge is a bitter attitude. Do you know how you have a grudge against somebody? Who knows? This is how you know. They walk into the room and you go, that's how you know. In your heart, you might not do it out here, but in your heart you're going like that. And how do I know? Because I am bitter Betty. Because I've held grudges. Because I've said bitter things. This is from experience. So be careful about that. It says, lest any root of bitterness trouble you. A grudge is a bitter attitude. It is a deep, ongoing feeling of ill will against another for a real or imagined slight or transgression. So you could, have you ever thought somebody was talking about you and they weren't? And you got a whole thing going? Talking about me over there. They didn't even know you existed. But you got this thing going in your mind that they talked about you. So you got to be careful about that grudge. Let's go to James 5:9. It discusses it there. James 5:9. Okay, it says in James 5:9, grudge not one against the other, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. In other words, hey, the Lord's coming back. You don't have time for a grudge. Get it out of there. Get it out of your mind. And I tell you what, my husband got a terminal diagnosis. He was the most wonderful man in the world. He was there for everybody at every hospital visit. He was there every time a baby was born. He was praying for you outside your house if you didn't come to church, because he was sure you weren't just laying out of church. He was sure that you were sick. So he would go around to the houses after church and pray outside of the houses for them to get better so they could come back to church or for whatever problem. So he was just the heart of our church. And when he got a terminal diagnosis and he was going to die, his best friends left our church. And I got an attitude. I felt abandoned. My best friends are gone. The friends that I was there for, now they're going to leave ugly, and I can't feel really good about having lots of fellowship with them because I can't listen to what they're going to say about my preacher. So I got an attitude, and it lasted for a long time. And the Lord revealed it to me, and it was so freeing. I was like in bondage. If I heard their names, my stomach would go like this. I would almost get sick to my stomach. I would play the whole scenario over and over in my brain. And you're saying, well, you're a mature Christian. You ought not to have done that. But that's what I'm telling you, ladies. It's easy to slip into a pattern of thought or to let a bitter thing in, and then it takes you in it. Winds you up in its clutches and it throws you down, and it's like a leash in your nose. What is that? You know what I mean? It leads you around, and at the drop of the hat, the devil can take your joy away by just bringing up the whole scenario all over again. But God, I thank God that God helped me with that and helped me to move along. And it was through a series of things that He weeded it out, and so. Let's talk about the next one. The last one. Uh-oh, not the last one. I'm really trying to hurry. I really am. Let's go to, this is an interesting one that I found that I didn't really think about before I was doing the study. And that is bitterness because of your own bad decisions. Let's go to Jeremiah 2:19. It says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Go over to Jeremiah 4:18. Have you ever talked to somebody who is bitter because they did something wrong and then they're bitter against God? They did something against their parents and then they're bitter against their parents? What is that all about? Let's look at Jeremiah 4:18. Thy way, and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth into thine heart. So if you've made bad decisions, you've drifted away from God, it's not his fault. Your own doings have procured these things unto thee. So don't be mad at God. Ah, we have somebody coming in. An opportunity to get a drink. So, don't be mad at the Lord when something bad happens to you because of your own decisions. I've had people tell me they were so mad at God, they shook their fist at him. I would be afraid he would rub me out, you know, if something like that happened. So, and also, you can have bitterness of soul. And I'm just going to read it. Job 10:1 says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I'll speak in the bitterness of my soul. And you can get so far down the path of bitterness that you lose touch with reality. I know people that started out here on the bitterness level, and they got worse and worse and worse. And now they live in a world that it's not real. It's not a real world. Saul got bitter at David, and then he started to get weirder and weirder, you know, throwing javelins at him and getting bitter. Why was he bitter, David? Because David, they talked more about David's thing in the battle than his own. But he started going downhill. So be very, very careful. Let's talk about dealing with bitterness. I have some things. They all start with an R. And I know this was the Lord, because I can't do that. Okay, number one, you got to realize, and we've been talking about that, you got to realize that you need to root out the problem of this. In Deuteronomy 29:2, it says, and the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation. And I think, what would it be if we would find that root of bitterness in ourselves and root it out? Just as much as God with vehemence grabbed that root and pulled it out and threw it out away. And that's what we want to do. Because in Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness, right? All bitter. Do we just read that verse so many times we don't even see that anymore? Do we just pretend we're not bitter all the time and everything's fine? This is here for us in Ephesians. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So we want to make sure we can get to work and get it rooted out and realize it. And you need to repent and remember Job. Job in 42:6 said, I abhor myself. I'm so sorry. I repent in dust and ashes because he ascribed unrighteousness unto God. So you need to repent for your bitterness. And you need to relinquish the bitterness and let it go. What do you think about Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery? Now really, try to wrap your mind around that. Don't you think he would have like really been mad at his brothers once he saw them? I mean, how did he get past that elephant in the room, you know, they talk about? That is huge. But for some way, he said, let's go to Genesis 50:20. Say somebody does something to you. Say you do have a reason to have a grievance against somebody. And it could be many different things, like we said. But you need to forgive as Joseph forgave. Genesis 50, verse 20 says, but as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. So you might have something really rough in your life. Okay. You have something rough in your life. I have to show you. I wish I had a huge picture of this. I wish you could see this close. I'll show a couple of you. See this picture? I was intrigued by it in Colorado. See this? Isn't that beautiful? It was a photographer. She took this picture. This picture used to be a forest. And you all know the story, right? There was a horrible fire. You know, in Colorado, they have those horrible fires. Well, the fire came through. This is in her, on her road, say, right near her house, and wiped out the forest. And she said it was black and wet and ugly, and she never went down that road again because it was so ugly. Well, one day she was late, so she goes down the road, and the whole mountainside was flowers. And I said, wow. Because see, all the first five times I looked at this picture, I didn't see all the burned stumps up here. I didn't see the bad things, the bad tragedy that had happened. I just saw the flowers. Well, she said, I named it Up From the Ashes. I said, there's a scripture, Beauty for Ashes, in the Bible. So God can take the very, very rough and awful things of our life, like Joseph, and make something beautiful out of them for us. And that's what that he does on a regular basis. This picture just shows what God does every day. He takes very bad things and uses them for our good. And we don't even, you know, we've heard Romans 8:28 so many times, we don't even hear it anymore. But it's true. He can take very rough things and turn them into something wonderful. He can make beauty for ashes, and that's Isaiah 61:3, by the way. So just remember to see God's hand in a difficult situation, and maybe it will make it less bitter for you, less sharp, if it still hurts in your heart somewhere, that God can take something and use it for your good. And remember, so that was relinquish the bitterness and let it go. See God in the situation. And then remember, forgiving someone may be easier when you remember that you have hurt others. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, you know, 5 years, it's always 5 years ago. Why does it have to be 5 years ago? 5 years ago, you said something really to hurt me, and I've really been struggling with it for 5 years, and I think, I'm so sorry. Why would I ever want to say anything to hurt anybody? I don't want to. I want to be a blessing. And I cry and I pray, and it hasn't happened that many times, but it's happened to me a few times. But my point is, I didn't realize for 5 years I didn't know I'd hurt that person. So maybe when you're holding a grudge or when you're having bitter thoughts to someone, you could look around the room and say, you know, I wonder if there's somebody here that I hurt, that I slighted. One lady came up to me and said, the one I'm talking about, she goes, you didn't talk to me at that camp meeting. There was 1,000 people there. I just didn't get around to the person. And I would have wanted to. It just, anyway. So you don't know who you might be hurting, is what I'm trying to say. Remember also, you might have to forgive yourself about something. Remember that, well, I said that you might have caused bitterness in others. And then you request God to heal your heart. In Psalm 147:3, it says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. So you ask the Lord to help you. If you have a wound, let's get it cleaned out. You know what I mean? I don't know if we have any nurses here, but if you have a wound, you have to get in there and you have to clean it. And you have, do you know what debriding is? You have to cut away the nasty, dead, and get down to the living, correct? Then you pack it and you sand it, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so you might have to, you know, clean that thing out. You need to ask the Lord to heal it. And, you know, there's something sick in our humanness. It's not part of being saved. It's part of being human, that your mind will go back to an unpleasant situation and rewind it, and you'll go over it. It's like, and the devil loves that. Like, he loves bringing things up from the past that maybe you got victory over, that you asked forgiveness for, you asked the person to, you know, you did everything. But he loves to bring that stuff up again. Push your face down in the mud. Just don't let him do it. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And reconcile if possible. If you feel you have hurt somebody, try to get that thing right so you can stand before the Lord with a clean slate. So you reconcile if possible, and then rule your thoughts. In Philippians, let's go to Philippians 4, just because I want to. Philippians 4, some of us need to live here, especially those with thought problems. Philippians 4, 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So you have to rule your thoughts. Okay, so you have a choice. You can go, you're coming up, you're walking along, and the devil brings up a situation that hurts in your brain. Something you were offended, something that, like I said, it stopped my day kind of thing and stole my joy. So I'm standing there and I have a choice, don't I? I can go down the path and rework the whole thing again, which gets you where? Where does that path take you? Right? To nowhere. Or you can go this way and you can go upward and you can think on things that are pure. It's a discipline. It's not going to happen automatically. You have to. It's just like that guy in the plane. You see those movies, and they're going into a nosedive, you know, and he's going. You can see his hand shaking, and he's trying to get the nose of the plane up again. That is exactly how it is for me. When I come to a thing, and the devil says, "Remember the day your husband was dying? Remember how?" Remember how you thought there was no light? You know, I mean, I can go there, right? Because the devil wants me to go there, right? But then I can think, wow, God was so good to us. God got us through a horrible thing. He calmed the storm. He said yes to every promise. He walked with us. He put his arm around. Oh, see the difference? Which one do you want to pick? Why would you pick to go downward when you can go upward and get rid of all that stuff? I prefer good to bad, but there's something in our humanness. It's easier to float downstream. It's easier to go down that way than it is to go like this and get your thoughts up again. So you want to rule. That's what I mean by ruling your thoughts. And you want to recompense good for evil. Somebody said, well, what do I do when somebody's hurt me so bad? What do I do? What does the Bible say to do? What does the Bible say? Let's go there. Matthew 5:44, you guys know this, but let's look at it in the light of holding a grudge, having bitter thoughts, being pushed down in the mud by the devil every other day because of something rough that's happened to you. Or you feel you were passed over. It says, but I say unto you, Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which, what? Despitefully use you and persecute you. So maybe in praying for the one who has wounded you, the stranglehold of bitterness can be broken if you have it. Maybe someday they will say sorry. Maybe not. That's not the path to healing. That is not part of the healing. The other things, your relationship with God is part of the healing. And then you reach forth. Let's go to Philippians 3:13 and we'll finish up here. We got two more verses. Philippians 3:13. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived either. I'm not perfect either, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, reach past it, just reach past it and back to victory again. Reach forth unto those things which are before. Let's go to James 3. I would like it, if you have a Bible, to go to James 3:14, and we will finish up. You have a choice. You want bitterness? Do you want peace? I want peace. It says in James 3:14, but, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So, remember our verse that we started out with? For peace I had great bitterness. In the place in your heart where you should have peace is there bitterness. Let's bow our heads, Lord, and ask the Lord to bless this message. God, thank you for this verses, and God, I pray for each lady here that if they haven't come to a time in their life where you tempt them with bitterness, Lord, that they would remember this message, that they would be on their toes, that when those things enter into their heart, they would quickly weed it out, Lord, that they would not let it take us to a point of bondage and a stranglehold. Lord, if those that are in the ministry, Lord, would remember this so that they will not be sidelined, but Lord, that they would not be surprised when people come to them, and that is the major problem. Lord, I pray that if there's bitterness here, that you would show each lady or the lady, and that they would get that thing eradicated out of their life. Lord, I pray for myself that knowing that I have been a bitter Betty in the past, Lord, that you would protect me from those things that push me down and rob me of my peace. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this time with these precious ladies. I pray that you would bless each one of them in a very special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies.